Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Ever wonder what the USDA certified organic label on your food stands for? Or what the difference is between organic and all natural? You might be surprised. Visit stonyfield.com to understand what organic means and why it's really worth it. We're proud to be making organic yogurt and honored to support living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
Well, back in 2007, President George W. Bush had the same idea, promising federal funds to find new fuels for our cars.
One of these days, the scientists tell me, and I believe, that we'll be able to manufacture fuel for your automobiles from switchgrass or biomass or wood chips. And then all of a sudden, if you really think about it and are optimistic about America's capacity to use technology to change our way of life, then all of a sudden you begin to see the rationale for saying that we can reduce gasoline usage by 20% over the next 10 years. I believe it's coming. I really do.
Since 2007, the government has devoted hundreds of millions of dollars to subsidies and loan guarantees for companies hoping to make fuels from plants. But so far, progress has stalled. Jeremy Martin is a biofuels expert with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
The promise was to start producing commercially as early as 2010 at a level of 100 million gallons, and then going up steadily to this level of 16 billion in 2022. And what's happened is that that first production hasn't happened yet. The facilities which were didn't get built, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, what happened in 2008 and 2009, and I'm sure everybody will remember that those were tough years to get a loan for just about anything, and in particular for new technology.
But back in the Bush administration in 2007, the government awarded $385 million in grants to jumpstart ethanol from wood chips and switchgrass, citrus peel.
Yeah, and also agricultural wastes, things like corn cobs and corn stalks, and even garbage. But I would say they announced that level of grants. Actually, if you went through the records, you'd find that the majority of those checks never got cashed or even mailed out. Those grants required the companies to raise a lot of private capital to match government money, which probably seemed reasonable in 2007. But of course, 2008 and 2009 were very tough years to borrow money under any circumstances.
Well, one of the companies that did cash the federal checks was Range Fuels in Georgia. They actually built a plant. What happened to them? They got over $160 million in loan guarantees and in grants and money from the state.
Yeah, they are the one exception. They moved very quickly and got started. So there's a lot of different ways that people have to convert this cellulosic biomass into fuel. And, you know, they were using an existing technology that just wasn't cost competitive. Unfortunately, you know, we learned the hard lesson first, and the other technologies are still, you know, at the starting gate.
But so is this an example of the federal government trying to pick a renewable energy technology, a winner, and having a failure? Because as I understand it, they haven't produced a drop of cellulosic ethanol.
I think we're certainly behind schedule. As far as picking winners, I mean, there was an important reason that people wanted an alternative to oil. And that was climate change. It was oil dependence, high oil prices. And I think all of those reasons remain just as true today as they were in 2007. And so that's why I think it's worth taking the time and sticking with this one, because we do need alternatives to oil.
Well, the backer of that plant in Georgia actually has a new company in Michigan. And I'm looking at an article he had to, tell potential investors what the risks were. And this is a direct quote. "We have a limited operating history, a history of losses, and the expectation of continuing losses. And we have no experience in the markets in which we intend to operate." Boy, that sounds pretty risky.
Vinod Khosla, I think, is the investor you're referring to.
Yes, he was the one that did Range Fuels and this one.
Yeah, generally these startup companies have a variety of backers. He's backed a great number of technologies, and I think, you know, his approach is to look for a lot of things and hope that some of them pan out. And, you know, the first bet here hasn't paid off, and he lost a good bit of money on that. But, you know, he's still bullish that there's a market here in the future, and I remain convinced that it's worth focusing on and it's worth investing in.
Well, cellulosic ethanol promises to be a lot cleaner than gasoline, I guess something like 85% in terms of greenhouse gases?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there aren't a lot of other alternatives that are that clean. And there's certainly, when you look at the scale of the problem, you know, how much gasoline we use, the technology that allows us to turn environmentally friendly sources of biomass into fuel is a really important technology and one that's worth investing in.
So is the challenge right now technological? Is that the problem?
Well, there's certainly technological challenges, and there's a variety of different approaches, and a number of companies with new technology. Some of them use heat and gas to convert the biomass into gases and through what they call a thermochemical process to make fuel. Others use enzymes.
Those are things, chemicals that speed up processes.
Yeah, or organisms, microorganisms. So there's a variety of different technologies, and the technology is certainly one of the challenges, but the financing these facilities has proven to be one of the really significant challenges. And I think that's one where, you know, the circumstances that, you know, that weren't foreseen in 2007 really have slowed things down.
The technology or the idea of getting energy out of this material is not new. It goes back to 1898.
Yeah, absolutely. And people have done it at occasion. The question is making it cost effective. I think it's long been recognized that if you could make biomass into fuel, you'd have a great business.
But didn't Chevron Oil and Shell, didn't they have investments in cellulosic companies? What happened to their investments? What happened to those companies?
Well, a lot of those major oil companies are investors in many of the cellulosic biofuel companies. I'm looking forward to seeing them produce fuel instead of just press releases. But, you know, they're the ones who control the fuel market. And essentially, these laws that Congress have passed amount to, an encouragement to them to, or a requirement that they clean up their act and start producing cleaner fuels. The technology will march forward with or without government support. But, you know, how long it takes to really start to displace oil and to really start to reduce the emissions from transportation is what's at stake here.
Well, Jeremy Martin, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jeremy Martin is a biofuels expert and a senior scientist with the Union of Concerned Scientists. Coming up, Arctic warming and a new way to warn about extreme cold. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration in solving the world's most pressing environmental problems. The Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation and Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.